Coming up on Avant Technology Insights with Ken Presti. We're talking about the role of software tools and CRM in unified communications and contact center. So things like Microsoft Office, Teams, Dynamics, G Suite, and more. Specifically, how to get the most out of the APIs, how this impacts the sales process, how it affects verticals like telemedicine, and a whole lot more. It all comes down to customer experience, and we'll have the skinny right after this. Welcome to Avant Technology Insights. I'm your host, Ken Presti, Vice President of Avant Research and Analytics. The link between solving business challenges and cutting-edge technologies has become tighter and more complex than ever before. In this podcast series from Avant Research and Analytics, we help enterprise decision makers sort through the business case, the value, the challenges, and ultimately the bottom line of technology adoption. So listen to us at your desktop, take us in the car, tune in from the commuter train, or download us at the gate. You'll find us on Apple, Spotify, and Google, as well as at www.goavant.net/podcast. My guest today has a demonstrated history of success in the information technology and services industry. He's skilled in channel sales, telecom, cloud, SaaS, and sales enablement. He has a deep knowledge of CRM, office tools, and related solutions. He's the head of master agent sales at Vonage. I want to welcome Greg Franzen. Greg, welcome to the program. Glad to have you on board. As I said a moment ago, the topic for the day is the role of office tools and CRM in unified communications and contact center. This is something that I know is near and dear to your career. Tee us up, if you don't mind. Give us a sense of what this is generally about and what customers ask about this subject when they talk to you initially. What are the main things that they're trying to understand when they have this discussion with you?
Generally, the conversation starts with CRM because our Advantage, our sales organization, is trained to do so because it's such a big, I guess, catalyst on why somebody chooses to go with a unified communications or contact center platform. It's to drive adoption into tools that they use and keep one single thread of what an end user may use to communicate internally, as well as externally being provided with all the right data types to properly and effectively communicate with their end user and really make them feel great and create a good customer experience.
So what I'm hearing from you and a number of other people in this space is that the standard for customer service has really gone up in recent years as a result of things like CCaaS and UCaaS and artificial intelligence and all these different types of things that enable us to see into the customer engagement more deeply than we've ever been able to in the past. Do you see it as that? That cut and dry, that the expectations of the customer are changing. And how is that changing the field for the people on the supply side of the equation who are trying to put these systems in place?
Speaking from experience on the supplier side, from Vonage's perspective, and I'll talk about the business units that I help run here. Mm-hmm. It helps us make decisions on where to spend money and where to pull levers on how we're really where we're really doing well in the market versus where it's, not necessarily everything that we do is the best. Ask that question again, because I feel like I have more to give you on that.
I'm basically trying to get a sense of, we're seeing a higher expectation among customers for customer service. They don't want to sit online too long. Yeah. They don't want to sit on the call too long. They expect the agents to know what they're talking about, even when they get passed through. All of that sort of thing is relatively new to us. People wanted it to be more simple for them and more straightforward. But now we're at a time when companies really can do that. And I don't want to say people are getting spoiled, because that's not really the case, but the standards are getting raised. And if you can't match that standard these days, it makes your own company look bad.
Yeah. So what what happens is that you want to be able to provide the agent, end user, salesperson with a clickable or addressable next best step. So I call in and if the agent that I'm speaking to doesn't have my name and number, I'm automatically disappointed. I feel like they're not serving me in the best way that they can, because a lot of companies do have that. And the more that becomes the norm, the more apt people are going to be to feel disappointed if they don't. So that's the advent of customer relationship management and CRM software, call it like Salesforce or Microsoft Dynamics or any of those that are in the market, and do that out of the box. The better organizations that are kind of digitally transforming, and that's like digital natives. So say any of the technology companies, Uber, Lyft, stuff, people that do things like they do in communications, where they have integrated text that shields numbers, they have calling that shields numbers, but they also have an app that brings you into Maps. So there's three different connectors that some digital natives are utilizing in order to create that experience. Mm-hmm.
So the key word here really is integration. It's about getting all these different things to work together and to be able to not just recognize each other, but be able to add value in kind of a comprehensive way as a result of that, you know, a little bit of synergy going on. Given that CRM is basically the company's system of record, what would you say are the most important data types that you really need to be able to integrate there?
Obviously, I started with customer phone records, mm-hmm. of their phone numbers, their last orders. There's all sorts of different types of data that an agent would needs to effectively ingest and then create a workflow to create a better experience. So if I'm calling in and I'm referencing my last trouble ticket, that should bring up what the solution was. So that might be, those things might live in separate systems that may or may not be within that customer's network. So a solution that would involve maybe an API into another web app is something that end users are seeing happen more and more in the market.
Okay, so from the standpoint of the enterprise decision maker, so the customer, the executive on the customer side who's making the decisions, you're looking at the types of integrations that you're talking about, be it the phone, what they've done in the past, those sorts of things, and you're looking at leveraging APIs, or at least you may have to leverage APIs. Where does that part of the function live? Is this going to be something that people are going to be doing in their own companies, in the end user organization? Is this something that the trusted advisor is going to do? Are they going to be looking to a company like Vonage for this? Help me figure out how these different components come together and then get spit out on the other end with a working solution that really solves business problems.
That is an excellent statement/question. So what happens is that what could happen is that the trusted advisor is speaking with an end user is speaking with trusted advisor and or a carrier and a co-carrier or vendor that is what we are. And what's going on is that in discovery, they're talking through what their business issues are, and that's most likely happening between a trusted advisor and or agent and the end user. And they talk through what the business problems are, and the art of what's possible comes with the different software solutions that they can provide to create a holistic solution. So the conversation, the discovery portion of it, and saying, all right, what CRM do you use? What office tools do you use? Say it's Office 365 and it's Salesforce or something to that effect. The trusted advisor, and this is where, you know, a small commercial for the Avant Pathfinder can be inserted, because it does some of those selections for you. Mm-hmm. And then you go through your discovery and say, all right, well, Vonage is a great fit. One of our competitors might be a good fit. And then one of our competitors in the contact center space might be a good fit as well. Connecting all those dots together is something that APIs and our CPaaS platform, as we go through the as a service acronyms, are really effective in. And we're just empowering the communities of, I think there's a stat that Vonage touts about developers on our API platform. I think it's probably over 1 million. And I don't know where all these folks live, but that's a lot of people developing solutions utilizing our APIs. And those APIs are video APIs, which are incredibly, incredibly successful in the telemedicine space. That's where we had a huge amount of growth in 2020. Obviously, with the current situation, telemedicine, I actually just had an appointment this morning. I broke my finger via telemedicine.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yesterday I did.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I thought, wow, you're really getting into this, Greg. You even broke your finger for the purpose of the show.
Just for you, Ken.
All right. So walk me through how that worked, especially from the integration standpoint on the technology side.
Yeah. So my doctor's office is part of a large community of doctors. What happens is that you call and you can select, I want to do FaceTime, I want to use their app. And I look at their app and I'm like, oh, that's a solution that Vonage helps provide. I'm not going to name the company, but what happens is that you click on a link and it's kind of, if I go all the way back to something I said a few minutes ago, to effective next step. So as consumers of the internet, the clickable next step is what I'm doing is opening up that API, which is a line of code that lives within that website for my provider. So that link opens up that API, and then all of a sudden it accesses my camera, it accesses their camera, and we're talking.
Mm-hmm. What would you say is the key to figuring out which of these applications you want to support? I mean, some of them are just kind of no-brainer, falling off a log. You know, there are certain ones that are so widely deployed and so widely used that you just have to have them. But you also end up with a lot of one-off decisions that you have to make, and people who have their own preferences that they expect to see fulfilled on the vendor side. Is it the kind of thing where once you get those APIs rocking and rolling, you can do all kinds of different things with them? Or do you have to make some serious decisions about where you want to invest your time and resources in being able to support the different platforms?
So that's kind of a twofold. So the APIs, one, an API platform in and of itself allows you to embed communications in something that otherwise did not have any sort of communications with, whether it's inside or outside. It's embedding communication. So it's enabling whatever application that you're using to communicate either in some way, shape, or form. So it could even just be a web API that says, all right, whenever I, you could time it for a data dump at 11 o'clock, or it's a voice API that enables you to just make phone calls. And then if I go further down the stack, I'm moving into video and then even some social. So it could be bringing in WhatsApp. It could be bringing in Facebook feeds. It could be bringing in, those are really kind of two of the most widely utilized ones. Workplace, which is an organization used by Facebook. So it's really just enabling communications into some other platform that your organization might use to operate. Now, the way the prepackaged APIs, if you look at the way that Unified Communications and Contact Center, the prepackaged ones, so say with us, we have a heavy integrations with ServiceNow and Microsoft Dynamics. And then our heaviest integration, I don't even know how do we say heavy, because we actually live in their UI, is with Salesforce. And that's in the contact center space. So our dial pad is within the user interface of Salesforce. It's really interesting to see, because you're not sure where Vonage ends and Salesforce begins in that sense.
You mentioned CPaaS, Communications Platform as a Service, a moment ago. Walk me through a little bit on how that evolves into the equation as these different capabilities come together.
Yeah. So what CPaaS allows end users to do is embedding any communications channel into mm-hmm. your current workflows. So okay. the accessibility, it creates accessibility to others within something that already exists. So if you have a web API, if your software lives somewhere on the web, there's most likely some way, shape, or form you can enable communications on some level into that. So if I'm an end user and I'm consuming your website and saying, all right, you know what, I want to click the chat, I want to click the call, you're not having to, if you've ever had to do this, because I know I have, you look up a phone number and you can't just click to dial it from a smartphone, mm-hmm. you're frustrated. So then you go and you have to copy and paste it, or you have to toggle between applications in order to get that number from your one smart device, versus that the ease of use and the customer experience being so much easier when all you have to do is click that touchscreen. Now, I think that before we said, you know, we're getting spoiled, just as a consumer on an Apple iPhone or an Android, when somebody doesn't have click to dial when I'm looking up a phone number, I'm actually disappointed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's why I brought that up about CPaaS, because, you know, the end customers are looking, they're familiar with UCaaS, they're familiar with CCaaS, they're familiar with CPaaS as well. But what happens is you see a confluence of all of these things coming together in a way that's both technical and social and creative, you know, as it were, as all these different capabilities come together and people start looking at the different data streams and how to leverage them and bring them all together.
Yeah. And it's, furthermore, obviously the advent of purchasing or creating and purchasing something online, like e-commerce, whereas you're originating something online and then you have to go to a secure way of purchasing said product without it being, you know, obviously security is an issue for everyone. Mm-hmm. Having APIs built with, you know, secure places to make purchases. We partner with a company called PCIPal for said services in our contact center world, and without that, we wouldn't be able to. End users would not be able to complete purchases online securely. Mm-hmm. So there's not just ramifications within like creating a customer experience, but actually taking it from start to finish, mm-hmm. which would then be the purchase of something or another.
So who should all be involved in developing the strategy on this? I mean, you've got your management types, you've got your technology types, you've got your networking people, obviously, you've got your application people, you've got your security people. How do you put together a team that's going to go ahead and make these evaluations and figure out what the best solution is, or to, you know, in a different sort of environment, to be able to troubleshoot the issue in terms of figuring out what needs to be done next?
I think from the customer standpoint, there's been a new sort of C-level person that's been inserted into the C-suite I've seen across multiple organizations, which is customer success. So mm-hmm. the customer success would probably bring in folks that are in charge of marketing, sales, as well as finance groups. So it's not necessarily the days of a lot of people in our telecom network, you know, talking to the IT manager, or even what's even ages me even more is when we talk about the whoever manages your PBX, mm-hmm. making those phone calls. You know, obviously it turned into IT was then managing the phones. They weren't two disparate organizations, and now it's, you know, as we move into software, it's probably a success manager that, or C-level success or experience manager that is going to drive change and digital transformation.
So I'm going to bring all these people together. I'm going to then look at the data that I gather to see what I might be able to integrate and see how I may be able to use that. Going to get this team together and get everybody to get their points of view in what we can leverage there. Then you've got the APIs and the technical side. So I need my technical people to do this. Then I need to articulate, once everything is in place and up and running, I need to articulate to my end customer that these capabilities are there, or, you know, whatever those next steps are in getting that use, in getting that usage out there. What are you seeing as the best ways of doing that last step to making sure that people are aware that, you know, aware that I can pull this data together and serve them better, and also to get them to be aware that they can use different platforms for communication with my team?
So the way the easiest way to pull in is probably by a trusted advisor organizing a proof of concept. And I could have went with a POC on that, since we live in the world of acronyms. Sure. So what proof of concepts would show you is just how a solution in UCCC with the proper integrations into whether or not it's Office tools like Google or Office 365. And if I start talking about Teams, Brent Wilford says, if you talk about Teams, you got to continue to talk about Teams, which is probably the most widely adopted platform that Microsoft has had since they gave away Internet Explorer. So more and more people are wanting to utilize that. So talking about how that interacts with 365 and interacts with a contact center, and then even moving further into the interaction that it might have with Dynamics, which is more in the Microsoft world. Those reasons are why the Vonage has doubled down with Dynamics in the contact center space, Salesforce in the contact center space, and ServiceNow, because we're betting that those guys are going to own most of the eyeballs that our customers are going that our customers are looking at. So we're going to
go ahead.
We want to be able to work with those guys in order to, one, create a dial tone, and then provide effective data to them, so those folks can address their customers in a meaningful way.
To what extent does all that amp up the complexity when you've got multiple platforms underway within the same organization or in the same partner ecosystem? So let's say you've got both Microsoft and G Suite running, and you've got to be able to accommodate both of those. Obviously, it's doable. You guys are doing it. Does it make things a lot more complicated to be in that environment?
So the integrations that we have, or and actually some of our competitors have as well, are usually click, so click, no code. So there's not necessarily coding that has to be addressed. The problem I would see is for that administrator, if he had both Google products and Microsoft products. It's not the norm, but it is addressable with the unified communications platform, because you could have multiple CRMs and multiple ways to connect to each of the different platforms. I'm not sure if that made a whole lot of sense.
No, actually it did, because, you know, and that was exactly what I was looking for, because I recognize that all of this is based on the clicks from the end user standpoint. I really was thinking about more along the lines of what goes on under the hood to make all these things work. So, yeah.
Understood.
In that same kind of an environment. So let me ask you this. What are the gotchas that we need to look for in planning and implementing these sorts of solutions? You know, everything is set up in this industry to make it as simple as possible for the users, which it needs to be. But it's also true that, you know, things don't always go as planned. So given that things don't always go as planned, what are some of the things that the enterprise people would need to look at and say, okay, we need to keep an eye on this, or we need to test this out to make sure that everything is up to snuff before we do the full rollout?
I think that the best word is discovery. There are so many tools out there, and happily or unhappily, there's so many reviews out there saying which vendors work well within which space. So the folks that are doing the best discovery, and obviously there's a lot of people in the Vonage and an Avant ecosystem that are excellent partners that know a lot about the UC, CC, and CRM worlds, just to use a couple acronyms. But the discovery is what's going to create the best solution. And what's funny is that the discovery for both humans, as well as, you know, as we move into the abilities of AI, that the data that's put into something is going to spit out that same data if you were a human or you were AI. So as we move into enabling AI into these solutions, if the data at the point of discovery isn't correct, it won't create the proper solution. So that's really what's most important is the discovery and how that would affect the solution that a trusted advisor would come up with.
What's your long haul view for AI, for artificial intelligence? We're starting to see this get embedded in various ways. But as you look down, let's make it difficult on you, my friend. Let's say we're looking out, you know, like 1 year down the road or 2 years down the road. What do you anticipate? What do you predict that AI will be bringing to the table that's really going to boost all of this to a higher level?
So AI is going to, it creates a better workflow. So what could happen is that data that is collected on the front, it's actually can be communicated easily to somebody calling in or somebody within your organization. The better data in, the better data out. And as we get more and more, as we concentrate more and more on what the data coming in is, we'll get better at ingesting it, so as we ingest data, the velocity of it being provided out to the customer in a meaningful way will continue to get faster and faster. So the velocity of the rate of change is just going to continue on. As we all settle into our different CRMs and make the investments into Salesforce, Google, Office 365, whomever those are going to be, those main pages. So the thing that you go in and you click on as soon as you log into your laptop or your PC, where are you working out of? So as people get more and more invested in those and actually get better at using them, the velocity at which that they can help their customer out or help out their internal employee will continue to get better and better. And what happens then is that the customer experience, not only for the customer who's paying the bills, but for the employee, is getting better. So the COVID problem that we've had in 2020, everybody's working from home now. Mm-hmm. So allowing them the satisfaction of doing their job well, and then actually providing the data for them to say, all right, this is how you did your job well. This is how you're going to continue to do better and better and better. Gives all sorts of satisfaction in a time that, you know, frankly, you know, COVID and 2020 has really put a damper on a lot of people's outlooks on life. So giving them a better sense of accomplishment is only going to increase as we get more and more invested.
Yeah, I think you're spot on there. It's really kind of interesting because we start with the development of the different piece parts of all this. And then we get to the point of integration where the emphasis changes towards making all these things work together in ways that they never could before. And then once you've got those two pieces in place, you move into more of a social arena where people are changing their work habits based on these technology shifts that are going on. So it's a really fascinating time to be in this space. You got a great job, great position that you're working on, because I think what's happening here is nothing less than a real shift in the way people are doing business moving forward, and that's some really cool stuff. So Greg Franzen, head of Master Agent Sales at Vonage, want to thank you very much for being our guest here today. Great discussion, and have a great rest of your day, sir.
Thank you, Ken. You too.
You've been listening to Avant Technology Insights with Ken Presti, featuring information and opinions on how key technologies can be leveraged to solve business problems. Avant Technology Insights is a service of Avant Communications, a platform for IT decision-making. All opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the guest and the host. For more information, please feel free to download our research reports and other resources at www.goavant.net. That's www.goavant.net. For Avant Research and Analytics, I'm Ken Presti.